Good morning. Today, the Grace Hour continues the series begun last week on the fear of the Lord. Today, we'll explore the subject by focusing on the topic, God is not like us. To fear the Lord is to be in reverential awe of His might, power, and grace. To fear the Lord is to hate the thought and act of sinning against God. To fear the Lord is to tremble at the thought and act of sinning against God. To understand and grow in the fear of the Lord, we must begin with the knowledge that God is not like us. As Christians encounter God in His Word and grow in our knowledge of Him, we will be confronted again and again with this startling reality. This God who is so near to us and is so intimately involved in our lives is not like us. He is unique, set apart from us in fundamental ways. God is radically different from human beings. He's so radically different that theologians are at a loss for words in describing how God differs from people. This is a widespread acknowledgement that there is no vocabulary available to describe how radically different God is from human beings. Yet the Bible teaches that it is because of this radical difference why God is utterly and rightly to be worshipped. In short, there is truly none like Him. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verses 6 and 7, the prophet said, "Inasmuch as there is none like You, O Lord, You are great and Your name is great in might, who would not fear You, O King of the nations? For this is Your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like You." Exodus 15:11 records that after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, they broke out into song and worshiped the Lord by asking a rhetorical question. "Who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" If one meditates on the incomparable nature of God revealed to us in the Bible, our esteem for self and other idols will evaporate under the glare of His awesome power and majesty. But all too often, Christians lose their sense of awe at the awesomeness of God. When that occurs, Christians become guilty of dumbing down God. This dumbing down of God manifests itself when we Christians seek to treat Almighty God like an ordinary friend who is on our level, who wears the same clothes we do, and who speaks in the same slang and same language as we do, and who shares the same idiosyncrasies and even tolerates our sin. There is an infinite qualitative difference between God and us. There is an infinite qualitative difference between God in Christ and us. God has no standard by which He must be measured. He is the standard. In short, God is independent of His creation, immutable, eternal, and omnipresent. Concerning God's independence, one of the Bible's early descriptions concerning how radically different God is from His creatures is found in Exodus 3:14, where Moses encountered the burning bush. When Moses asked God what he should be called, God replied, "I am who I am." God was saying to Moses that He's both self-existent and self-sufficient. God's life and being do not depend on anything or anyone. God is not like a cell phone that can run out of charge and needs to be recharged. God is His own energy source. God is His own reason for His self-existence. He's the uncreated creator. John 1 verse 3 says, "All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells us that Christ upholds the universe by the word of His power. Human beings are utterly dependent on God in Christ for the proper working, functioning of the sun, moon, and stars, and everything on earth below these celestial lights. Concerning God's eternality, God is in no way shackled by time. He created time. God has no beginning and no end. Jesus said of himself that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Moses, in Psalm 90, verse 2, said, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." God's eternality is good news and cause for worship. Whatever God is in his attributes, nature, and divinity, he is eternally so. As the one who dwells in eternity, God is the only one who can guarantee eternal life in the afterlife. Concerning God's immutability, another reason God is to be feared is that he is unchanging. That's what immutable means. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is a good thing, because things that change, change for the better or for the worse. God is unchanging because God is perfect. God cannot improve or decline. He's forever perfect in power and majesty. God, speaking in Malachi 3, verse 6, said, "For I am the Lord and I do not change." God, because he's unchanging, is sometimes compared in Scripture to an immovable rock. King David said in 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 to 4 and verse 32, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" Here's my question for you listeners. Is God your rock? Because God is unchanging, there will never be an instance when he ceases to be worthy of reverential fear and worship. Concerning God's omnipresence, not only is God self-existent and without change, he's also at all places and at all times. The psalmist wrote about God's omnipresence in Psalm 139, verses 7 through to 10. "Where can I go from your presence? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." A person may fool others about what he, she truly is, but there is no deceiving God. Proverbs 15 verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." God is in all places and knows all things. When a Christian contemplates that his or her life is perpetually under the spotlight of an all-knowing God, that is reason to rejoice that one has been robed in the righteousness of Christ. And a fitting response is humility. A spirit of repentance should seize one's soul and produce worship and reverential fear of a holy God. At our wisest, most inspired, and most insightful, we barely scrape the surface of God's splendor, wonder, and his otherness. God is indeed radically different from us. There is not an ounce of sin in God's character, but every human being has sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Furthermore, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin brings alienation from God. But God, being merciful and gracious, sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to sacrifice his life on behalf of sinners. So on the merits of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, sinners can now have an intimate and loving relationship with this God who is not like us. That's why Christians sing of God's grace. That's why Christians describe God's grace with the only word that seems to fit: amazing. In the words of Pastor Chris Poblete off of the book, The Two Fears Tremble Before God Alone. For the Christian, the fear of the Lord does not diminish the gospel of grace. It amplifies it. This reverential fear makes his grace more amazing, his mercy more grand, his justice more right, and his love more astounding. The deeper our understanding of what it means to fear a holy God, he says, the better able we will be to fear him as he ought to be feared, and the better able we will be to worship him as he ought to be worshipped. Next week, we will continue our contemplation of the fear of the Lord.